T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, as I've mentioned on the show before, I am a member of the Veterans of Forum Wars, joining up, well, shortly after I moved to Long Island, New York, Huntington specifically, post 1469 with Bruce and Bob and all the guys up there. It was right down the street from my house. I saw it and I said, you know what? I'm just going to swing in and see what this is all about. Came across a guy named Bobby, and Bob invited me back. Said, hey, you know what? It's just me here today, but if you come back on Tuesday, the whole crew will be here. We'd love to talk to you about possibly joining. If not, just, you know, get to know you a little bit and welcome you to the neighborhood. Great group of guys. Ended up joining them. Ended up learning about everything that the VFW does. That it's more than just marching in parades. It's more than just a bunch of guys sitting around drinking beer and telling war stories. Do they do those things? Yeah, okay, a little bit, but there's a lot more to it. A lot more to the VFW in general for all of us veterans of Forum Wars. And a man who knows a lot about that is Rick McKenna. Rick is the Deputy Director of Membership for the VFW and joins us now via phone. Rick, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Eric. Thank you for you and your audience for letting me join you this morning.
Well, it's absolutely a pleasure. And as I mentioned, Deputy Director of Membership for the VFW, as I just said, I'm a member. And as I talked about a little bit earlier on the show, I was a member, and at my post was either the youngest or the second youngest guy. There was one other sailor there who I don't know if he was a year younger than me or around. We were close to the same age, but it's something that a lot of VFW members have noticed, and I know it's a big topic of conversation around the VSOs in general, and that is membership and how to attract the younger veterans. So as the deputy director of membership for the VFW, tell us how you see the membership issue that the VSOs are facing now and what the VFW is doing to attract new members.
Well, first of all, it's a history lesson as well, because if you think about it, you know, the largest population of the VFW was our World War II veterans,
yeah,
and then Korea, then Vietnam. But one of the things that we talk about, when we talk about that age gap, you think about it, we had this gap of any type of conflict from 1975 to basically 1990-91 when Desert Shield, Desert Storm kicked off. So there is a gap of experience, and those folks that would probably be in their late 50s, early 60s right about now,
right,
had there been a number of conflicts during that time frame. So when we look at the disparity of the age group, that's one of the things that I think about when I look at it. It's okay, because on average, most of our folks that get involved in our VSOs and the VFW is, you know, it's that next stage in our lives. You know, we get out of service or we've made it a career, we're raising our families, we're raising our kids. And as we get closer and closer to where the kids are getting on their own and becoming empty nesters, this is when we get more and more involved. So I'm seeing a good trend now lately of veterans that are roughly my age. I'm a retired Air Force Master Sergeant. I was in from 85 to 07. When I got out, I was still raising. After I retired, I kept on working, raising my children. But I've been involved, you know, at the VSOs now for about 8 or 9 years, and because my kids were older, and it was an opportunity for me to do that. So we're seeing more and more of that to trend in that direction. So yeah, we'd like to see more and more younger veterans be involved with the VSOs, but we also understand that they're raising their families. So what we try to do when we go out and we talk to them about all the great things that Veterans of Foreign Wars do, understand, hey, we may not need you to be totally involved right now, but here's what you get out of your membership when you pay those dues. Here's some of the benefits of being a member. And then later on, once we have you on board, as your time frees up, then you have more time to kind of give back to not only to your local post, but your community and whatnot, because that's typically what us veterans do. We're always looking for that next mission. Our mission right now is raising kids. After that, what else can I do to give back?
You know, that's a very interesting thing that I've also heard brought up before, and that, yeah, a lot of the younger veterans have a lot of stuff going on in their lives, a lot of, a lot of stress and difficulty, and the older veteran tends to have more time for it. But what they do with that time that they spend on it is really fantastic. And that's another thing that I think as a member could help increase membership, in that the VFW in some places, sometimes deservedly, sometimes not, has a reputation as more of a social club than anything else. But in reality, there's a lot more going on at the VFW than just hanging around to have a few beers, isn't there, Rick?
Well, a couple weeks ago, you had Lynn Roth on, the director of programs, and Lynn did an extraordinary job of explaining about all the different programs within the Veterans of Foreign Wars, from scholarships to events that are going on in the D.C. office. But let's just talk a minute about the local post, okay? One of the great things about the VFW is still one of those veteran service organizations that's truly a grassroots organization. You know, where else can you go and say, hey, my local post is here in this town? For example, I live out here in Spring Hill, Kansas is where I live, but I have my life membership in my local post in Lenexa, Kansas, post 7397, which I'm very proud of. We just had a meeting last night, and if you, what people don't realize is in our meeting last night, what we talked about was the next 30 to 60 days of all jam-packed activities going on in the community. Obviously, a bunch of stuff's coming up right now with Veterans Day just around the corner. It would have been a week and a half, but also in the next 60 days, we have a program, as you, Lynn talked a little bit about, the Adopt a Unit program. We have a reserve unit here in Lenexa, Kansas, that they have four specific units within that Army Guard unit. And one of the things we're looking at doing is doing a Thanksgiving dinner, lunch and dinner for the family members of those members who are deployed right now supporting operations in Afghanistan. So we're doing multiple things at the community level. And not a lot of the VSOs can always say, hey, do I have a true grassroots effect here locally? There's a lot of great VSOs out there at the national level do some amazing things. But the VFW is still one of those that has a grassroots presence in the communities and doing some amazing things in those communities.
We're speaking with Rick McKenna. Rick is the Deputy Director of Membership for the VFW. So, Rick, let's talk about you for a little bit and your background. As you mentioned, you retired from the Air Force. So you told us the dates you served, but where are you originally from and where did you serve while you were in the Air Force during your time?
Well, ironically, you just said you're from Huntington, Long Island, which means, and I actually grew up a little bit west of you. I actually grew up in Valley Stream, Long Island initially. I'm from Nassau County. My dad was a Korean Air Force member and member of the VFW post there in Valley Stream. So I still remember as a little kid, and you talked earlier about those parades. I still remember when, on Memorial Day, we had a parade every year in Valley Stream, and then the local VFW post would provide, after that, go over to the parking lot, get some hot dogs and hamburgers and whatnot afterwards. And it was always a good time as a kid, and I always remember that. It was special to me, and I've always kind of carried that with me. Now, while I was in the Air Force, I was an in-flight refueling specialist on the KC-135 tanker. So if you've ever seen video of two airplanes refueling up there in the air, that's what I did. I was in the back of the Air Force tanker lowering the boom down and did that. And I earned my eligibility with the VFW through operations with Desert Shield, Desert Storm, operations over Somalia, later on flying operations over Bosnia and Kosovo. And after several years of being an in-flight refueling specialist, I moved on and became an Air Force recruiter for my last 10 years, which brought me to the Kansas City area. And that was my last assignment in 2004 to 2007, and had an opportunity for a great opportunity leaving the Air Force after 22 years and stay here and establish roots. And lo and behold, lucky enough, the Veterans of Foreign Wars National Headquarters is sitting right here in the Kansas City area.
And how did you, I mean, you're the Deputy Director of Membership, how did you come to the VFW? Do you remember when you joined and why it was that you joined? I mean, I'm sure the memories of growing up in Long Island and seeing the VFW and the parades played a part, but tell us about your journey from, active duty Air Force to the VFW.
Well, it's ironic. You know, when I left the Air Force in 2007, I taught Air Force Junior ROTC in one of the local high schools here in Kansas City for about 4 years. After that, I had left, and my next evolution was, I really want to be around other veterans. I felt like, that was my strongest passion. I missed that. And again, we hear this word all the time. Is it overused? I don't think so. But I missed the camaraderie, and I felt like, I had some opportunities to be able to help other veterans. And I went to work for the state of Kansas. I became the state coordinator for a program called the Veterans Workforce Investment Program. And that was my first opportunity to be exposed to our fellow brothers and sisters after they were transitioning from the service and seeing how they were kind of having barriers and struggles to gainful employment. So that program I was in was able to help them, provide them the tools and assistance that they needed to overcome those barriers and find them gainful employment and sustainable and meaningful employment. And from there, I did that, like I said, from 2011 to 2014. And during 2014, a good friend of mine worked for the Wounded Warrior Project, who was the director of education initiatives, called me one day and said, hey, we're looking for somebody to take over as the employment rep for a four-state area out here in the and would you be interested in possibly coming to work for the Wounded Warrior Project? And I said, absolutely. So I went through that interview process and worked for them. And I'll tell you what, great organization. They do some amazing things on intensive service level, one-on-one with folks across the country with post 9/11 veterans. But I, after doing that for a few years, I really felt like, you know, it's great that we're working just with the post 9/11 crowd, but I wanted to kind of get more involved with an organization that really provides services to all generations. And the VFW, knowing that they were, as you brought up at the beginning of this conversation, hey, the perception was, as you know, it's an older organization, only older vets and all that. I said, you know what? I think I can go and change that perception, because when I joined the VFW, especially the one in Lenexa, Kansas, I was amazed to find out how many things they were doing in the community. Now, Lynn Rolfe has said during the interview with you a couple weeks ago, our problem is we're kind of a well-kept secret, and we need to do a better job of getting the word out and educating folks on what we do with the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And I feel like being a deputy director of membership, we're doing what we can to get out there. We travel, myself, my director, Rick Butler, would have done this interview this morning, except he's on a plane this morning to fly to San Diego, California, for meetings out there this weekend. And he's going to be giving presentations to about 8 to 10 different states this weekend about what we need to do to expand that message and how to go out and talk to folks one-on-one and not be afraid to go out and chat with them about about the awesome things we do here. So I'm excited to be here. This is really a great time to be on board with the VFW, because you'd be amazed what's going on at our headquarters, what's going on in the Washington, D.C. office. We have a lot of folks that are just excited to be here. Younger folks that believe in this organization, and the best is yet to come for the Veterans of Foreign Wars. There's no doubt about it, Eric.
We're speaking with Rick McKenna. Rick is the Deputy Director of Membership for the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and it seems to me that there has been a push for getting younger veterans into more leadership positions within the VFW. How has that worked out? Do you think that's a positive thing for the VFW to see more and more of our younger members getting involved on the, you know, the infrastructure level, not just being members, but getting involved in the organization itself?
Yeah, I absolutely do, because, you know, obviously there's a balance. We said earlier in this conversation, there's a balance of trying to, you know, folks that are younger obviously are still working for a living for the most part, but getting them into those post leadership positions and then moving them on to our structure with the VFW. You have the post level, then you have what they call the district level, which a district commander oversees about maybe 8 to 10 to 15 posts in his region. And then later on, we hope that they move into some type of level, because all 50 states has their own department and every department has their department commanders. So the first thing you got to do is in order to have successful leadership, they need to have the corporate knowledge, and that starts at the grassroots of the post, and then slowly move up. And I think the thing is like, for example, again, my post, but also another post up on the north side of Kansas City, to get the younger veterans to come in and be part of the local post, a local post up in North Kansas City, post 7356 up in Parkville, the past commander up there said, hey, we're not getting a lot of the younger veterans to come in our door, and we're trying to figure out why. And especially on the auxiliary side, you know, the spouses of the members, why they're not coming. And one of the things that they saw up there that was a roadblock was, hey, I'm raising a family, I can't come to a meeting without paying for a babysitter. So the post commander, thinking outside the box, said, we can resolve that issue. We're gonna have our meeting, the membership meeting, and the auxiliary meeting on the same night, and I'm gonna go down to the local YMCA and get a certified sitter and have one of our rooms in our building set aside, and you can bring them and have free daycare during the meeting time. So that got more younger folks to come out to the meeting. So nice. If we can get them to the table, we can then turn around and get them more involved and get them into those leadership roles and learn more about the organization.
I think one of the things that can help get them to the table, as you said, also is realizing that the more involved you are with the VFW, and if you rise to, whether it's someone like you who takes a position as deputy director of membership, whether you become the commander of a post or something like that, it really gives you the ability to make a difference, doesn't it? I mean, the VFW is an organization that people need to listen to. If a VFW post stands up and has something to say, people are going to listen. I mean, this is an opportunity for veterans to really make a difference with veterans' issues and for their community in general. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the things that we need to realize is that once you get involved and you find what your passions are, and I think one of the things that we're doing a better job as well on the recruiting side, is that when we bring a young man or young lady into the post, one of the things we need to do on recruiting, and I'll get to this in just a second, when they come in the door, let's not focus on what I need as a post commander, but better yet, let me find out what your individual needs are. What are you looking for as a fellow veteran? How do you want to be able to give back, pay it forward? And if you find out what that individual's passions are, I guarantee you there is a program or community service program that within that post, that person will grab onto, get engaged, and then grow from there. And I think that's the key right there. It's like, you know, that's the first step in the process. It's like, you know, like one of the things that we talk about on the recruiting side when we go out and we do our workshops, you know, we're always, one of the things is nobody likes rejection. It's like we go out, we talk to fellow veterans about the VFW. We sometimes are worried that, well, we go to ask them to join. What if they say no? Great. Let them say no. You know, then you can find out why they're saying no. Maybe there's a misunderstanding. Maybe there's something that, you know, that, you know, when their grandpa was a member of the VFW 60, 50 years ago, that's totally different now, and there's a misconception. So let them tell you no. It's the best analogy I can use on Ed, Eric, is when we're afraid to be told no, it's almost like, when we go back to our days in high school, and it was that guy or that gal that we wanted to ask to the prom. We were nervous. We were afraid. Well, if we don't ask, what's the answer going to be? It's going to be a no. So we have to not be afraid to ask that person to come join our ranks and then get them involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if you don't ask the question, you don't know what the answer is. And if it's no, hey, okay. If it's yes, well, then great. I mean, how many? I spoke to some veterans after I moved to Huntington when I moved out there and I had joined. And I come across guys like I saw a Navy corpsman at Target one day. He had a big tattoo, had the Navy corpsman tattoo along with some Marine Corps stuff. It was pretty clear that he was an OEF or OIF veteran. So I mentioned to him, like, hey, man, you corpsman? I was Navy too, mentioned that I was a member of the VFW. And you know what he said is, I've never really considered joining it. I didn't really think that was for me. I didn't even realize, like, you know, that I was eligible. There seems to be that kind of disconnect. Like, this is someone who was boots on the ground in Iraq for at least a year. I didn't talk to him about that much detail about what he did, but that he just kind of had that this different idea of what the VFW was and who it was for. Really, it's for every veteran that was boots on ground in the theater of war, isn't it?
That's correct. And there's some varying eligibility criteria, war, conflict, operations. The best thing to do is they can call our membership department at the national headquarters, or and you can turn around, or you can go contact your local post, or just get on vfw.org and you find out all information about the qualifications for joining the organization. I mean, the number one reason, and I'm going to ask you the question this way. What do you think the number one reason why a fellow veteran is not a member of the VFW?
The number one reason. I would say, well, a couple of things from what I've been told from people that I know who were eligible and didn't join. One is time, that they just say they don't have the time for it. The other one is a lot of them say it's too expensive for the lifetime membership. It's not expensive that when you play your annual dues, it's like less than $20 a year or something like that. But yeah, they talk about the cost of the lifetime membership where they don't want to have to think about it every year and that type of thing. So I've seen those two as the biggest reasons that are given to me.
The biggest reason why, and they'll tell you, nobody asked. Nobody asked me to join. And that's really the issue. You know, dues, you know, there's a bunch of ways you can look at this. The dues are, you know, our organization has made it very affordable to be a member of our organization.
Right.
And depending on your age group, your life membership dues, the maximum you would pay is $425 if you're age 21 or older. And then over the age of 31, it goes down. There's multiple different ways that you can pay that. And here's the best way I can look at that. You know, when we talk about, and you said about the lifetime, I'm also a lifetime member. Hopefully you are as well, because you see the value in the long term on a lifetime membership versus an annual membership. It's almost like, for example, it's almost like buying your house. Okay. Every month I make a mortgage payment. And even though I got 360 of those payments to make, on the 360th payment, the house is mine, free and clear. You know, if I join the VFW and I become an annual member and I pay $40 to $45 a year to my local post or to my department every year I pay it. It's like paying rent on a house. I get nothing out of that investment. So I talk to people all the time saying, hey, if you love the Veterans of Foreign Wars, invest in it, take ownership in it, And you'll find in the long run, because within 10 years, even if you're 21 years old, within 10 years, you already broke even. And yep. Figure out on the 11th year, you never have to pay again. That's the way you got to think about those things. When we always talk about being thrifty with our money, we offer a great value for very little. And that's the great thing about that.
Yep. And it is really not that expensive to do it on the annual way. And as you mentioned, anyone who knows anything about finances knows that sometimes if you spend a little more now, it eventually evens out over time. We've been speaking with Rick McKenna, the Deputy Director of Membership for the Veterans of Forum Wars. Coming up next week, we're going to have the National Commander of the VFW live in studio with us. Now, Rick, if there was one really statement that you could put out to those eligible veterans who have not joined yet, if you could get all them together in one room and sit them down and you had just a couple of minutes to talk to them, what would you say to those eligible veterans who have yet to join the VFW?
I would make it an open forum and I'd find out why they haven't become a member yet. And I like that, you know, a lot of times there's, again, we said in this conversation today, there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of misinterpretations. And one of the reasons why, again, is like I fall back to Lynn Rolfe's comment a couple weeks ago. We've kind of kept it a secret of what we do. And I think if I had to share somebody within 10 minutes and say, well, here's the highlights of what the organization does from the programs that we have. And you heard about the scholarship programs and the financial assistance that we have and whatnot. But there's just so many different programs from the communities, to the states, to the national level. But the reality is that I would rather have an open forum to find out what these younger veterans think about the organization. And then maybe a lot of times it's a misunderstanding that can be easily cleared up and say, no, by the way, here's some of the really great things that we're doing. So that would be the way I would have that forum if I had 5 minutes, just because, you know, sometimes it's just better to listen why they're deciding not to join the organization and then be able to provide and then fill in the gaps for them and provide that information and say, no, you know, hey, I'm glad you feel that way, but let me explain to you that we're actually doing these things and here's how we're doing it. So that's the best way, I think, if I had a forum to find out why they're not joining and be able to overcome some of those objections.
And if people are interested in joining and want to find out more about the VFW and all the various programs it offers and what they do, where should they go to do that?
Well, a couple different things you can do. You can log on to vfw.org and click on join. You can call the 800 number, which is the number here in Kansas City, which is our national office, which is the join number, which is toll free at 888-562-6839. Or just remember, it's 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's what that number is. Again, it's 888-562-6839. Or better yet, if you know that you have a local post in your area that you know they are doing some really good things, pop in, introduce yourself, let somebody in the door know that you want to join. I'd be willing to bet that the post commander or the post quartermaster, they're the person that actually takes care of your application and your dues and whatnot, will get back with you within a prompt time of 24 to 48 hours. So a lot of different ways they can join. So I really appreciate you having me on today, Eric, and this was an amazing time with you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.